So if you're not already there, then please turn to Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 23. And won't you please stand, and I'm going to read it for you this morning. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, and he said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he arose, and he took the child and his mother by night, and he departed for Egypt. And he remained there until the death of Herod. And this was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." And then Herod, when he saw that he'd been tricked by the wise men, became furious. And he sent and he killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all the region who were 2 years old and under, according to the time he had ascertained by the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation. Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." And he rose, and he took the child and his mother, and he went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went, and he lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. Would you please remain standing, and let's pray. Lord Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, we join our brothers and sisters who have rehearsed these stories now for thousands of years. But Lord, how we need to remember this morning that you are with us, that you reign with us, and we reign with you. Lord, may we hear from you by your Spirit and through your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Prince of Egypt is the most popular animated film of all time that is not done by Disney. And you remember the story. It's a Bible story about how Moses went to Egypt, where God's people had been slaves then for hundreds of years. They were groaning under oppression. He went to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." And then now animated, that story is told of how he leads them across the river into the promised land. A great, great story. But could we use a Prince of Egypt today? Wouldn't it be wonderful if the Prince of Egypt went to Washington this weekend? It'd be really good if he went there and straightened things out? Uh-huh. Amen, someone said, right? What if he went to the Middle East? Could use a little help over there. What if he came to Valley View? Maybe come to some of our family gatherings or extended family gatherings over this next week. If he came into our homes, if he came to our workplaces, if he came to school, if he came to the neighborhood, wouldn't it be wonderful if the Prince of Egypt came? Well, Matthew thought it'd be wonderful if the Prince of Egypt were to come to Palestine in his day. Because things were stirring up for the Christians. Their Lord had gone to heaven, and they were starting to be persecuted for their faith. And they didn't know their faith very well. And Matthew said, "You don't realize that a king has been here. And this prince has come, and he's gone to heaven, and he's now on the throne." And so he says, I want to rehearse for you who this king is and what he has done. And so from the very beginning of Matthew's gospel, he goes back and he talks about the royal roots of our Lord. He goes through with a genealogy. It talks about how Jesus has fulfilled the promises of Abraham, and then also then he has come down through the Davidic line. He has royal blood. He comes through David, and then even through their captivity in Babylon, down to Mary and Joseph. Jesus was royalty, he says. But then he was royally conceived. And so the angel came to Moses, to Joseph and to Mary. And he said, there's a baby that's being born, and this baby has been conceived of the Holy Spirit. And this one is a son of David. And he has come to save his people, not just from the occupiers of the day, because the Romans had occupied the country, but he has come to save his people from their sins, the cause of all of these problems. And then, in the story that we rehearsed last week, we remembered that there was this time of longing, time of expectation throughout that part of the world. And there were wise men that came to visit this king who had been born. They had heard that something was going on, and they saw his star, and they came to Jerusalem to find him. And Herod went out and he inquired of where he was to be born. And the scholar said, well, over in Bethlehem. And so they went over to Bethlehem, and there they found this one who had been born a king. And he represents the longing of the nations. But it's then that we come to Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and following that we're looking at this morning. And the angel appears now to Joseph. He says, Joseph, now I want you to wake up. I want you to get up, and I want you to take the baby. Notice the order of things going on. It's always the baby and the mother. I want you to take this baby because God has a special plan for this baby. He's protecting this baby. And I want you to get up. I want you to pack everything up in the middle of the night. And I want you to go the 70, 80 miles down to Egypt. Because Herod, that madman, the crazy man, the paranoid guy, has heard that another king is going to be born. And he's scared for his own throne. And so I want you to take the baby and the mother. And I want you to go down to Egypt. So that baby is safe. And so that's what he does. We don't know if Mary was excited about that. New mama, probably not excited about getting up in the middle of the night. She said, can't we wait till the morning? No. We got to go. The angel told us to go. And so they pack everything up. And they head down to Jerusalem. Down to Egypt in the middle of the night to protect the baby. And Matthew looks at this. And we're looking at some portions of the Christmas story that are not usually talked about. These are the difficult passages. These are ones that are hard to figure out, but there's also some things going on here that are not easy to talk about. They're not the pretty things of Christmas. Matthew says, this reminds me of somebody else. This reminds me of a prince of Egypt. This reminds me of a prince that was off out in the desert and heard the Lord speak to him by a burning bush. And he said, I've heard the cries of my people down in Egypt. They are bound in slavery. And I want you to go down there and I want you to say, let my people go. And so Moses, the prince of Egypt, he went down there and he confronted Pharaoh. And he finally got Pharaoh to say, yes, okay, get out of here. And then he led him out of Egypt into the promised land. And the prophet said, out of Egypt, I called my son. It was a deliverance that went on years ago. That was a picture of a deliverer that was to come. And Matthew said, that's what's going on here. This Davidic king has come back. The prince is back to deliver my people out of another Egypt. to save them from their sins. And so then he packs up his stuff. He goes down to Egypt. And Herod follows through on his dastardly deed. Herod is a crazy man. He's paranoid. He's a fruitcake. And he'll do anything to preserve his throne. And what's a few babies? Bethlehem was a little town. You know, it's probably 10, 15, 20 little boys, 2 years old and under. And he sends out his soldier. He said, take care of those kids. Get rid of those little boys. That's why these stories aren't talked about at Christmas time. It was ugly. It was a massacre. And there was weeping in Bethlehem. You think of the mothers in that town that were weeping in Bethlehem for the loss of their little boys. And Matthew says, that reminds me of another time when a deliverer was needed. Another time when there was weeping among God's people. He said, that reminds me of the tears of Rachel, the wife of Jacob, who was said years later to be weeping as God's people were carried off from Jerusalem into captivity in Assyria and then in Babylon, as some of the little boys in that day were taken out, and whole families were gone, and they lost everything they had. The women were just weeping with tears in that day. And Matthew's saying, the Father in heaven understands those tears. He sees the tears of the lives that you are going through. He sees the tears. He saw the tears in Jerusalem in that day and in Palestine. He sees the tears that have come our way, that are our way even today. The Father understands, and he said that this prince has come back is a reminder that God cares. And so the angel then, after some time, finally told Joseph to go back. He said, okay, buddy, the wicked king is gone. Now you can go back home. And so Joseph packs up again. Notice it's the baby and mama, it's the child and the mother, packs them up and takes them back home. He thinks he's taking them back home, but he doesn't take them back home because he finds out that Herod's brother, another dastardly dude from a wonderful family, is ruling in the place of his predecessor. And so the angel says, don't go there. And he decides not to go back home. But instead he goes to a new place. He goes to Galilee. He goes to Nazareth, a place out in the middle of nowhere, a place that was really seen as Nowheresville. You remember over in John's gospel when one of the disciples said, Nazareth? Can anybody good come from Nazareth? It was a place that was like not a place you wanted to be from. But here's what happened is that the Son of God chose, under the sovereignty of God, the plan of God, chose to be born in a God-forsaken place, in a despised place, so that he could identify with his people. And Matthew says, that reminds me. That reminds me of what the prophets had said. That he would come from a little place. That this king, that this Messiah that was coming, would come from a place that was even scorned. And we think of how in the prophet Isaiah said that this king would come, would give his life for the sheep, that he would be despised and rejected by men. And that would pave the way for his giving his life for us. So what is it about this king? What is it about this story? We've looked at the part of the Christmas story that we don't often look at, but I believe that it tells us what the nativity was about. It tells us why he came. It sets up his rule in our lives and in our universe as we look at the picture of Jesus that is given here in Matthew chapter 2. We find here that he is a child like Moses who has come to save us. To save us from our sin, to save us from the effects of sin in our world and in our lives. Not long ago, I was talking to someone from outside the church. He was telling me about the pain that he had gone through. As a child, he had been addicted for many years. It started to make progress, and then she lost her life because of the addictions that she'd been through and the pain that he was going through. Now, a little bit in time, but some pain that will be his for the rest of his life. And that's the way that it is for all of us. Maybe not that situation, but another situation. Losses that we have, situations that we are part of because of our backgrounds, because of things that have happened in our lives, things that have happened in our church. You know, folks that have left that were part of our church for years ago that are now gone. And it hurts. People that have physically left our lives. We think of our dear sister Dee that left us this year. We think of the pain and the suffering that we go through. And we're stuck in some of these situations. So there's some situations that we're in that we just can't get out of. It's like we're locked in. And we long to be delivered. And this one who came, our Lord Jesus, who came as another Moses, has come to deliver us from the root cause of all of these problems. He's promised to deliver us forever and ever from our sin, he said to Joseph. But he's also one that's come to be with us in the problems and to give us hope as we look ahead to his coming again. And the wonderful thing is that he's not a dispassionate deliverer. He's not one that doesn't feel our pain with us. He is one who weeps with us. How sad this weekend to look at the news and find out another tsunami in Indonesia. I mean, that part of the world has just been clobbered time and time and time again. Or you think of California and the forest fires. Just not long. It seems like another day, another tragedy in our world. The wonderful thing about this story is that we see that our Savior weeps with us. He cares about what we're going through. He cares about things that we're going through in our homes. Some of those struggles that we just can't get away from. He cares about the things that are going on in our world. He cares about what's going on in our church. Some of the struggles we have, we think we're doing the right thing, but Lord, are you with us? He says, I care. He cares about work and that person in the next desk that maybe we wish wasn't there, or maybe the person next door or down the street, or the things that are going on, crazy things in this country that he has called us as Christians in the U.S. to be part of. He weeps with us. He understands he lived here on this planet. He experienced the things that we experience. He experienced everything that we experience, the Bible tells us. And he cares for us. And he's sitting at the Father's right hand. And he's praying for us. Isaiah 53 tells us that he bore our sins. He bore our sorrows. He even bore our diseases. In some sense, he took all of this pain, all of this suffering on himself. He cries tears with us, and it's the tears of the Father in heaven that sent him to this earth to deliver us short-term and long-term to the day when there be no more sorrow or sickness or in crying. And because he lives among us, because he lived among us, and because he sent his Spirit to be with us forever, and because he prays for us, he cares for us, we can bring him our sorrows, we can bring him our pain, we can bring him our suffering, and we know that our God in Christ will care for us. But there's more. There's more in this true story from when Jesus came to earth, because he didn't leave us alone. Matthew tells us that he's a child who came in the person of Christ to live with us forever. He moves into town with us. He just doesn't move. He doesn't just move into the big places. He doesn't move into the important places, you know, the capital cities or wherever those important places might be. He moves in wherever we live, and he lives life with us in the person of Emmanuel, God with us. When I was a boy, I lived in a little town called Lakeville near Cape Cod, Massachusetts. It was not a place to be from at the time. You take the school bus around, and we'd stop at Saltbox City in Lakeville, which was the real place, even in Lakeville, that you didn't want to be from. Houses that were said to be made, I mean, it was, you know, they looked like salt boxes, whatever salt boxes were. Name went way back. But it was not a place that you wanted to be from. The King of Heaven, who came to rescue us like another Moses, came and chose to live in the most unlikely of places, the most downtrodden of places. He chose to be in a place where nobody wanted to be and nobody wanted to be from, because he loved us and because he wanted to identify with us, and he wanted to care for everybody from the highest on high to the lowest on low. You see, if you were to ask me where I'm from, I would probably tell you, well, I'm from a little town on Cape Cod. But here's what you would probably hear. You would probably hear me say, well, that used to be a little place, but it's become a place. They've started to build, you know, nice houses in there and all of that. But it's because I've thought about that, and I've thought, you know, what I'm trying to do is to tell you I'm really not from nowhere. I'm from somewhere. And that's what we do. We want to be from somewhere. But Jesus came to our nowheres. And he said, if you're with me, then you are from somewhere, because you are now reigning with me. And he did that because he loved us. But he came to our nowheres so that he, Emmanuel, could be with us. He came to Bethlehem. He came to Nazareth. He came to this nowheresville to be with us and to know that wherever we're from, that we are somebody with him, and he understands and cares for us. You see, the prince has come back. He's come back to deliver his people. He's come back to deliver us. And he invites us to be part of his kingdom forever and ever. Maybe you remember the story of that Mark Twain wrote about the prince and the pauper. If you're like me, maybe you saw it on a Disney cartoon. But you probably remember it. And so there were a couple of kings. Or there was one king. I'm sorry, one king. One king whose name was Edwards. Prince Edward and a pauper by the name of Tom. And they bumped into each other one day and they said, hey, you look like me and I look like you. And they said, hey, why don't we switch places and see how it goes? And so Tom put on the royal clothes, and then he moved into the palace for a while and created a little bit of turmoil in the palace. And Edward moved out into the sticks where Tom was from. And Edward realized that maybe things weren't as nice as he thought they were out there. And then they came together again. And Edward moved back into the palace, and he was kinder to the people. And here's what happened to Tom. Tom became a member of the king's ward. He was invited into royalty. And Tom lived in royal circles for the rest of his life. Think about how Jesus has come and he's lived among us. He came and he experienced what we have experienced, that he might rule as a benevolent king in the name of, like King David was called to be. He understands what we're going through. He rules in a kind and a fair and a loving way, and he's able to take care of our needs. But here's the interesting thing about us. He's invited us to live with him. He's invited us to the palace. He's invited us to live with him. What a wonderful, wonderful privilege we have in this child that was born on Christmas Day. And we have several choices that we can make. One of those is that we can invite this one who came like another Moses to deliver us from our sin, because the angel said to Joseph, he said, that's why he's come. He's come not just to deliver you from your circumstances. He's come to deliver you from the cause of your circumstances. And so he invites us to come to him, to admit our sin to him, to put our faith and trust in him, and to turn and to follow him and honor him the rest of our lives, to make him our deliverer. But then he invites us to come to him with our needs, because his tears are falling for us all of the time from heaven. He's praying for us. He's caring for us. And we come especially at the times of holidays, and there's a lot of pain during these holidays. There's a lot of struggles that we have. There's some that we have as a church, some that we have beyond ourselves as a church. And he invites us to bring our needs to him. He says, I care about those needs. I care about those needs in your home. I care about those needs that you experience every day. Won't you let me care for you? He invites us to come to him. But then finally, he invites us to welcome his walk with us in our lives. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And his rule has begun not just in heaven, but in our lives as we invite him to rule with us. He will walk with us, and he will rule in our lives. He will make us a preview of the kingdom that is to come. Now, we don't experience everything that we will, but we can experience bits and pieces of it now as we experience his presence in our lives from day to day. So this morning, we welcome this prince who has come. We welcome him into our hearts. Maybe it's for the first time, maybe the first time in a while. But so let's rejoice in this king who has come. Won't you bow with your heads with me and let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming. Lord, we confess to you that often that we want to be the kings and queens of our lives. But you have come. And so, Lord, we welcome your reign in us. Lord, we are so grateful that you have come to deliver us. Lord, may we experience you and your presence in our lives, in our church, and in our world in fresh ways as we invite you, our King, to reign. Lord, we pray for any who are here that don't know you or others that are away from you. Lord, may they be drawn to you. May they bow before you as we all bow before you together. We rejoice in you this morning as Christian men and women who love you and who love the King who has come. We pray in his name. Amen. Would you please stand and let's rejoice in our King.